Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramon. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, I'm also grateful, equally grateful for you guys for tuning in. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. We're going to talk about, you know, the Yankees playoff race as they try to catch the Red Sox for the AL East division. We're also going to talk about the current state of the Mets as they're battling the Marlins, and they're going to have that one game against the Yankees, the makeup game. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. We'll talk about preseason and how Saquon Barkley did in his debut with the Giants, and of course Sam Darnold's debut with the Jets on Friday night. And we're also going to talk about WWE, the latest in WWE, what's going to happen to Brock Lesnar, longtime manager Paul Heyman, after Brock Lesnar attacked him almost 2 weeks ago. So We're gonna dive into that as well. But most importantly, you know the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call and let your thoughts be heard. But with that said, let's talk about the Yankees. And the Yankees, you know, they're playing a lot better, you know, after they got swept by the Red Sox last week. The Yankees, you know, they've been bouncing back against the Rangers, and they won earlier today, 5-3. You know, with Lance Lynn on the mound, a guy who was rumored to sign with the Mets in the offseason. But he's looked pretty well as a Yankee thus far. What's your thoughts on the current state of the Yankees and Lance Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, you know, after that sweep in Fenway against the Red Sox, you know, it was, a lot of Yankees were devastated. It looked like, you know, Yankees were about to collapse. But they, you know, after that losing streak, after being swept in Fenway, they did go on to win four in a row. And they did lose to the White Sox, not the White Sox, the Rangers last night, 12-7. Yeah, that rookie Ronald Guzman hit three home runs in front of his family in the Bronx. And he said he made history by becoming the first rookie to hit three home runs in a game against the Yankees, and a home run in each of his career games against the Yankees as well. So that was a historic he's had a historic season as a rookie against the Yankees. But Yankees ended up getting revenge today with Lance Lynn on mound, who's pitched very good for us so far. You know, he's pitched two games. He's had he had eight strikeouts today. And, you know, he's only given up, I think, one earned run in his two starts total. So far, so good for Lance Lynn. And we have Miguel Andujar had a two-run home run to help us win the game. And he's been hot during the month of August. You know, him and Stan have been pretty much carrying the Yankee offense ever since Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez went down. So those two guys are really helping out. But Yankees win. But the Red Sox, unfortunately, they keep winning. So right now the division, Yankees are back, nine games. The division is going to be tough to catch. I mean, you know, unless the Red Sox make a historical there's a historical collapse with the Red Sox, I don't know, man. Yankees might have to settle for the wild card right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It doesn't look as great as the Yankees are playing all season. I think it's too little, too late. I think the Yankees will come within two, maybe a game of tie, game within tying it. But I think Red Sox is just they're just too strong, man. Yankees is gonna give Yankees gonna be a scary team to face in a one game playoff.
Definitely. You know, we will have reinforcements back. So yeah, we just gotta get healthier and get back on track. But right now, yeah, it looks like it'll be the same thing as last year. We gotta have that one game playoff and then hopefully win that and then make it on, go on to the postseason.
Yep. And as usual, you guys, you guys always get my wish list of players, because I wanted the Mets to go after Arrieta. But most likely I knew Mets wasn't going to pay the money to him. So I was hearing rumors that they were going to go after Lance Lynn. I was like, you know what? Fine. Mets should go after him, because, he has, he's a former All-Star. And not to mention he's a world champion with the Cardinals. He's a durable pitcher because they were looking for a replacement for Colon. They wanted a Colon-type pitcher, a durable a guy who goes deep into games, innings eater guy. And instead of getting that, they got Jason Vargas, who currently has an ERA over 8. And it lowered. His ERA lowered because earlier in the season, his ERA was at 32. So, I mean, he's pitched a little bit better, but he's improved to an ERA of 8. So that just shows you how bad he's been all season. So,
well, Mets, they should have done more during this trade, before the trade deadline, They probably could have got Lance Lynn if they offered, offered some type of package. But, at the end of the day, it's, what can you say,
I want them to sign him as a free agent. I didn't want them to trade for him because, Who are you going to give up? Mets don't have that much prospects. I mean, before they made these few trades, the Cabrera trade and the Familia trade, they were like ranked 26 in baseball. As a result of these trades, now they're like ranked, I think, 19th out of the 30 teams. So they've improved a bit, but not the way they should be. The way how they're very thrifty, when it comes to spending money in the offseason, with the exception of Vargas and Jay Bruce and some other notable players in the past, the Mets rarely spend the money. So with a team that, is so dependent on their prospects, the Mets should be at the minimum a top 5, top 10 team when it comes to drafting, especially when they live in the same town with the Yankees. And even more importantly, teams in their division, like the Braves, the Phillies, the Marlins, they draft way better than the Mets. And you can even throw the Nationals in that instance as well, because because of their losing seasons, they were able to draft Bryce Harper, who is a free impending free agent, and then of course you got Strasburg, who is of course he's injury prone, but when he's healthy, this guy is a beast on the mound. So,
right.
The Mets, they really need to improve on the, in the drafting situation with their organization. And that's why there's rumors that, Mets might go after, some people, who are associated with the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Red Sox, hopefully they'll get the right guy in or woman, because Kim Nag, I don't know how to pronounce her name. She was in the Dodgers organization. She formerly worked for the Yankees organization. She would be the first woman GM. So in that case, as long as they hire the right person, male or female, as long as they could put the Mets in the championship caliber category, the Mets got to do it.
Yeah. Whatever's the best thing for the Mets, The Mets definitely need to improve in a lot of areas right now.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. But I feel they shouldn't give up on the pitching, because pitching is the only few strengths that they have on this team. So I wouldn't easily give up on their pitching.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but I haven't heard much of her. Is she a very prominent, you know, person that teams are going after right now?
Those are the rumors that, you know, she's, you know, they people have had rave reviews about her, thinking that she's a team of the future. And Joe Torre, if I remember something right, raved about her. But so far, no one's given her opportunity yet. So I'm hoping Mets could get the right person for the job. And ideally, I would hope they'd get somebody with, you know, with more experience. But as long as they get the right person, that's all that matters. Here's the names that they were thinking of. There's Ben Charrington. There's Michael Chernoff, Dan Duquette, who's Jim Duquette's cousin, Jim Hoyer, Dan O'Dad, and Jared Porter, to name a few. And some of these guys, you know, they had success with the Red Sox, with the Cubs. You know, they've been all over the place. And there's even a guy who I think he's 68 years old. He's an associate with the Cardinals. There's rumors that maybe Mets might be leaning towards him because they want to move away from the analytical, because they've been, you know, very analytical heavy, you know, because of Alderson. Oh, what were you going to say?
Right. Well, no. I was going to say, who do you, like, as a Mets fan, personally, who would you prefer to be the next Mets GM?
I would prefer anybody with experience. Like the guy from the Cardinals, I forgot his name. He seems like a perfect person because, you know, Cardinals and, you know, Yankees, you know, they're the two successful franchises in baseball. You know, they got the most titles in their respective leagues. And, of course, Yankee overall, as you are a diehard Yankee fan, already know that.
Yep.
So it would be they can't mess this up. They gotta get somebody who's a surefire person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They gotta get this right. Cause Mickey Callaway, you know, he was a great pitching coach with Indians, and everybody thought, especially Terry Francona and Sandy Alderson, who hired him, among many people, they thought he would be able to make the transition as, you know, from pitching coach to, you know, rookie manager. And, of course, after that 11-1 start, everything fell apart for the Mets. Yes, injury plays a part of it, a huge part of it. But, you know, him transitioning from the National League, from the American League to the National League and being in this spot, not to mention not having a veteran bench coach, you know, I think that plays a major role in the failing of this team.
Yeah.
And the Mets didn't get enough players, good players, and the players been injury prone, and that's why this team is, you know, in the mess it is. So now they have a first baseman, Peter Alonso, who has like 27 home runs and has 103 RBIs down in the system, but it doesn't even look like they might call him up, not even in September. With a call up, so who knows? I mean,
you know,
what were you gonna say?
No, you were mentioning injuries. Tell my injuries. I hear that David Wright wants to make a comeback.
Yeah, I heard that too. You know, that's very hopeful. I mean, last year he was expected to come back, but he had a setback which shut him down. So he hasn't played since May 27th or something like that. He hasn't played since May of 2016. So it would be great to see him back in a game. Apparently he played five innings. I think it was either yesterday or today. Played third base, you know.
Yeah.
As of right now, everything is good. But, you know, with the Mets, everything could be fine. You wake up the next morning and you hear someone's on the DL or have a season-ending surgery or something. So as of right now, he's fine, and, you know, God willing, everything will be all right with him. And, you know, he'll be able to, you know, play a little bit this season. Hopefully he won't exert himself because this season's a lost season. You know, most importantly, we'd need him back for 2019 because obviously they're not going to go after Machado, even though that's the move they should make if they're serious about winning. But unfortunately, the Mets aren't serious about winning because now they're thinking about doing a six-man rotation just so they could keep Vargas into the rotation. And like I said, this guy has a, you know, an ERA over eight. So, I mean, if Mets were serious about winning, you know, Vargas would not be in the rotation. Wilmer Flores wouldn't be playing, you know, even though he's a defensive liability. I mean, he is clutch, you know, in later innings, you know. So I would, to me, if I was running the Mets, he'd be a pinch hitter, you know. But hey, I'm not running the Mets, so.
Have the Mets gotten rid of Jose Reyes yet?
No, Reyes is still there, and if Reyes is there, and Wright does magically come back because he did start to play in single A, St. Lucie, not the Cyclones, but the St. Lucie. If he could keep it up and stay healthy, and they don't release Reyes to make room for Wright, this would be the first time since 2011 that both of the guys were viewed as the future of the Mets again with each other. So that'd be an interesting dynamic, even though Reyes, you know, the way he, as you know, as much as I love Reyes, you know, been the president of the fan club, you know, he definitely at best should be a bench player. At best. So, I mean, this team needs a lot of help. So, we'll see what happens with that.
Definitely.
But let's shift gears. You know, we'll keep you guys posted if we find out something, you know. As we go along. But shifting gears, before we get to the Jets and the Giants, they announced that the Knicks are going to be facing Trae Young and the Hawks to open up the season. And they're going to play a Christmas game, even though this team is horrible, I think against the Pacers.
I thought it was the Milwaukee Bucks on Christmas, isn't it?
You might be right. Let me double check.
Okay.
You might be right. Let me check.
It was against the Greek Freak on Christmas Day.
I think Bucks is the opening day. No, wait. Bucks isn't opening day. Bucks is... Let me double check.
Maybe it is opening day.
Opening day.
One of the two.
Bucks is Christmas Day.
Yes, okay.
Bucks is Christmas Day. They're going to be opening against the Hawks and Trae Young on October 17th.
Okay.
They're going to be facing the Thunder on Martin Luther King Day, which is January 21. Knicks
right.
never played good on those days, generally speaking. And they're going to have 15 back-to-back games, which is more than any team in the league.
Well, hopefully this season is more promising for the Knicks than last season because once Porzingis got injured, you know, the season just went downhill from there.
Absolutely. And lastly, LeBron and Michael Beasley, the former Knick, who believes that Lonzo Ball, he thinks, you know, people shouldn't sleep on him, you know. Even though he had a mediocre year, 11.7 rebounds and 7 assists. But LeBron is going to be playing the Knicks at the Garden on October 26th. And then on January 4th, they're going to be in L.A. against LeBron. So that's worth noting. Another Knicks news is that reportedly they're going to finally use their stretch exemption and release them, I think, after September 1st, so that they'll be only required to pay him $7 million and he'll be off the cap. Well, other than the $7 million.
Man, I just hope that we can get Porzingis back as soon as possible. I mean, that's what the Knicks really need right now. Knicks need that superstar player, you know, that brings people to the games and, you know, makes you want to watch the game on TV every night.
Absolutely.
Who knows where Porzingis might not even play this season, you know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Because they expect him to play, come back around the All-Star break.
Maybe.
And that's being very optimistic.
Yeah.
In sports, you know, me being a sports fan who doesn't root for the Yankees, you know, I believe it when I see it. Because everything I want to happen usually doesn't happen. So, I believe it when I see it if he comes back and he's 100%. Because, you know, coming back from a serious injury, he's gonna need time to regain his form.
I hope so. I hope he's able to come back this sometime this year.
Yeah, I sure hope so. But most importantly, as long as he's healthy for the next following year, when they get all these guys back, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because I want to see more of the younger players. You know, I want to see Nikita develop more and, you know, get more minutes. You know, maybe even start. You know, I want to see some of the younger guys play.
Yeah, definitely. Most doubt about it. And that's what I like about David Fizdale. He looks like, you know, you're going to earn your spot. You know, you're going to earn your spot. So
yeah,
the best players are going to play. The players who don't perform, unlike the Mets, they're not going to be able to play. They won't be on the team. So
yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And let me see what else was that I was going to mention. Trying to think. Oh, yeah, back. Okay, now, let's talk about the Giants and Jets. Jets, on the Jets side, Jets won their first game 17-0. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the first time they shut out anybody in preseason. So congratulations to that. Even though, I mean, it's preseason. And Darnold, he looked pretty well, you know, pretty good, you know. He threw a touchdown pass. And, he looked poised on the field.
Yeah. 13 of 18, right, I think?
Yeah, he was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he... And not to mention, he stayed in the game after he got spiked in the hand. So, showed a little grit there.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign to see that he stayed in the game and it wasn't a serious injury.
Yeah. It's he looked very accurate, played very well. But, you know, it is preseason, so let's
Absolutely.
Not get too crazy. But, you know, so far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? And then on the Giants side, you know, Giants fell 20-10, but you know, it was the debut of Saquon Barkley. He rushed for I think 43 yards.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts? And David Webb didn't look good on the field, but what's your thoughts? I know it's you know, the first preseason game, so people are a little rusty.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley, you know, he had that one run where he broke out for 39 yards, you know, on his first carry. I thought that was pretty impressive, although he only finished, you know, with 14 yards after that. And he finished the game with 43 yards on 5 carries. But, you know, you get a little taste of what's to come with him. You know, for the upcoming season. And hopefully you'll see more of that, you know. He'll get more carries, you know, get more yardage. Hopefully Giants use him more, you know, in different ways, you know, for, as a receiver, maybe they line him up, you know, that way he gets, you know, a lot of scrimmage yards. But I see them using him in a variety of different ways, and he's probably going to get the ball more often than not, you know. They're probably going to use him and the other running backs more than they did last year, although they have Beckham back. And I think you'll still see the running backs, you know, get the ball more than the wide receivers. So it's this season for the Giants, it's a, you know, it's going to be a season with a lot of questions. You know, how is Odell going to recover from his injury from last year? You know, will he post his superstar numbers again? How will Saquon do in his rookie year? How accurate will Eli be this year? How will the defense step up this year? How will the offense be? They have a new coach. How will the coach be? Now, how the coach manages and coaches players. So there's a lot of questions around the Giants this year, and you know, we'll just have to find those answers when the season begins. But as a Giants fan, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, 1 week, but most importantly, you know, both New York teams are healthy. And, you know, hopefully they could both stay healthy and, you know, continue to showcase their talents.
Yep.
But switching over to WWE, the biggest news that happened lately is that, you know, after, you know, Roman Reigns defeated Bobby Lashley to be the number one contender to face Brock Lesnar for the 1 millionth time in the past couple of years. Basically he was going to have a showdown with Brock last week. And, but, you know, he got kicked out of the arena by Kurt Angle and the constable Baron Corbin. As a result, Paul Heyman, you know, was trying to convince Brock Lesnar, his client, to try to appear on Raw. Brock Lesnar famously said that, you know, why would he be watching Raw? Which kind of shows the state of Raw, that not even the champion wants to see Raw. That's how bad Raw has been lately.
Yeah.
But
very lackluster.
Yeah. So that was a poor choice of words from a WWE scripting him to say that. And he probably does feel that way for real. So
mm-hmm.
I can't blame him. So basically, at the end of last week's Raw, Paul Heyman begging and pleaded with Kurt Angle to keep his job. And Kurt Angle was throwing shade at Brock Lesnar, saying he's the worst champion ever. You know, he avoids challengers. He doesn't show up every show. Which Kurt Angle, in retrospect, Kurt Angle is being hypocritical, because Kurt Angle was a chicken heel, you know, during his heyday, but he did show up every week, you know. But back to Brock Lesnar. And then the shocking thing was Paul Heyman agreeing with him, which obviously was a way to get Brock Lesnar to come out
mm-hmm.
to fulfill his obligation, or else Paul Heyman would have got fired. And then once Brock Lesnar's music came out, then Paul Heyman showed his true colors and started, you know, smiling and grinning. And then Brock Lesnar shockingly F5'd Kurt Angle, like if it was 2004 or something, during their SmackDown rivalry back in those days, which I didn't see that coming. And then afterwards, Corbin ran away. That wasn't a surprise. And then, of course, since WWE was hinting that he was getting annoyed with Paul Heyman, I kind of saw or a four-star that he was going to attack him, you know, in the ring. But it was still shocking to see him do it, you know. And then Paul Heyman was like, I can't breathe. You're choking me. So that was a surprising scene to see, even though it has happened. Like in the aforementioned 2004 or 2002 to 2004, during Brock Lesnar's the next big feud in with Brock Lesnar, with Kurt Angle and The Big Show, you know, et cetera. John Cena, the Word Life John Cena, during those times. So it was like a blast from the past. You know, him having a beef with Paul Heyman, because ever since he returned in 2012, they've been two peas in a pod. You know.
Yeah. And, ever since Brock Lesnar turned heel, even the first time before he left WWE, he's been with Heyman pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it was a perfect union, you know, between the two of them. You know, Brock Lesnar was the brawn, and Paul Heyman was, you know, the mouthpiece and the brains of the operation. I mean, you know. And it worked. You know, Brock Lesnar didn't have to speak. You know, he had his advocate, speak for him, and it worked out perfectly. Now it's a new dynamic with SummerSlam approach, and, now the interesting thing is it looks like Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are no longer associates. So now the rumor is that Paul Heyman is going to have a new one, because at the end of the interview that he had this past Raw, he was saying the only way Roman Reigns could win is if, and then he walks off. So it looks like they're strongly teasing that Paul Heyman is going to side with Roman Reigns, and possibly this could be a heel turn for Roman Reigns. But then again, I'm thinking if Paul Heyman sides with Roman Reigns, it wouldn't be a heel turn. It would actually be a face turn for Paul Heyman, because Brock Lesnar turned on him and made Paul Heyman something that no one would ever foresee for the 20, 30 years of watching professional wrestling. They turned Paul Heyman into a sympathetic figure, because Brock Lesnar literally bit the hand that fed him all those decades. What were you gonna say?
No, sorry, I was gonna say that. You know, I would love, if I was WWE creative, I would love to pair up Paul Heyman with Bobby Lashley, and have Bobby Lashley go heel, and have Heyman manage him. Just like he did with Lesnar, you know. I think that would be a better idea than having him pair with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that, because Roman Reigns doesn't need him. Roman Reigns is already the big dog. You need a guy who's like mid card to be elevated to the top level. So I agree with you. The other rumor I'm hearing is that Kevin Owens is gonna somehow win the Money in the Bank briefcase match, and he will side with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman will be the Paul Heyman guy. I don't know if that's gonna happen, because I can't force anybody.
I can actually see that happening.
Huh?
I can actually see that happening.
You can?
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Well, I mean, they've been teasing it the past couple of weeks, it wouldn't make any sense, because they've been teasing basically the only way he could beat him is by getting a ring out, which in that case, if it does happen on SummerSlam, I think that's on the 19th, if my memory serves me right, he would win the title. He would win the briefcase, because any all the other pinfalls and decisions will go inside Kevin Owens' favor and not the champion. Well, actually, you know, the briefcase holder.
Right.
So that would be the only logical way that he would win. you know, if he has some outside interference or he gets him to be counted out, that's the only way legitimately Braun Strowman would win. And I think WWE is just toying with us with the possibility because WWE likes to tease heel turns and you know, stuff that people want to see, like Brock Lesnar versus Lesnar, Bobby Lashley versus Lesnar. And obviously those stuff don't happen. And as a result, we never see dream matches like Rock versus Shawn Michaels or even most recently Sting versus Undertaker because they don't give the people what they want. They just force feed whatever they want the fans to take and accept. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
What if this is all just a setup by Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman? What if they're just trying to set up Roman Reigns?
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's another rumor, too, that maybe Brock Lesnar won't leave, and maybe he will fulfill his dream as being the UFC and WWE champion and leave with the title. CM Punk left with the title a few years ago.
Yeah.
And reportedly, I don't know if you heard, CM Punk is getting sued by his former close friend, Colt Cabana. You know, the guy he did the interview with a few years ago after he got fired or left WWE. According to him, CM Punk, he was fired by WWE. According to WWE, CM Punk left WWE. So there's like two sides of the story.
Wow.
So they briefly joined forces to go against WWE and their doctor who CM Punk claimed, you know, made him wrestle even though he was severely injured. And he won his dispute against WWE. And now Colt Cabana is, you know, going to sue him. So
yeah, some of the things I'll say this, CM Punk, he's had, some of the things that he says sometimes are not credible. So I can believe that he did leave WWE because there are times that he was complaining and making demands backstage where WWE had to fulfill some of his demands and complaints. You know, especially that time where he complained about wanting to be champion and then WWE finally gave him the championship after his demands and complaints. So, I mean, WWE did babysit CM Punk a little bit while he was there. So I wouldn't be surprised if CM Punk did leave WWE.
Yeah, and apparently, reportedly, that Royal Rumble match, apparently he was PO'd and he left, you know, like right after that. He hasn't been seen ever since there in the ring. So that's what made a lot of people believe he quit. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I don't know. So according to him, he was on his honeymoon or about to get married. I can't remember what he said, but then he was served his termination papers apparently. But yeah, I don't think we'll ever see CM Punk inside a WWE ring ever. So.
You know,
it is what it is, man. But, yeah, one more thing about the CM Punk thing is that, you know, he was the champion, but they did treat him like a second-class citizen to John Cena. Like, he was the champion, but he wasn't main eventing the pay-per-view events. I mean, unless if he was fighting John Cena. When he had that epic match with John Cena, and he did the pile driver, which is a move that's banned with the exception to Undertaker and Kane because, you know, they were grandfathered in with those moves, so they were able to do it.
Yeah, but I disagree with that notion that he was second class citizen. I mean, he held that title for a year.
Well, yeah,
a year,
now his record is taken away from Brock Lesnar, who only defended the title 10 times. Well, now it's going to be 11 times. With this upcoming Survivor Series. I mean, SummerSlam.
Yeah. I mean, and CM Punk had some great matches also during his reign. But I think CM Punk was tough to deal with backstage, you know, especially with things I've heard, you know, in some of the online stuff. But who knows?
Yeah. He definitely had heat backstage, no doubt about that. But, you have anything you'd like to say quickly?
Just check out my show IMAC here coming up at midnight, and come back here, check out Sports of a Legend. Beside is 11.
All right. Let me see. What happened this week? I'm trying to think what happened this week quickly before I head off, because next week, hopefully, we're going to try to do a SummerSlam preview show. But I'm trying to think, what did anything major happen? I know Charlotte qualified and made it a triple threat match for the women's title against Charlotte. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else major that happened on Raw or SmackDown that, well, it's official. Miz is going to face Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. So that year, that many years long feud that they had, even dating back to Daniel Bryan's NXT days, they're finally going to battle it out, especially for the first time since their since his return, career-ending injury at that time. So that's gonna be awesome. But I want to thank you, Matt, for coming on the show.
Thank you. And
I want to thank you guys, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports of the Legend. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys hopefully next week with the Survivor Series preview.